Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Before the 2016 election, the fringes of American politics weren't considered that important in presidential campaigns. That changed when then-candidate Donald Trump found support in the outskirts of the Republican Party, and soon the alt-right and its news outlets made up an important part of Trump's political base, and then they pushed from the fringes closer to the center. Now the Trump presidency is in a crisis brought by Russian interference in the 2016 campaign. Several investigations are looking at what the Russians did and whether members of the Trump campaign cooperated or coordinated with them. The president, meanwhile, calls the Russia investigation a witch hunt and anyone who reports on it fake news. Sites like Breitbart and personalities like Alex Jones of InfoWars also report on Russia. Here's Alex Jones responding to the June meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer after being told it was part of Russia's effort to help the Trump campaign.
The only crime of Donald Jr. is not being more hardcore. The only crime is not speaking up and halfway apologizing on Sean Hannity last night, saying he could have done it a little bit different looking back. No, day one, they should have said, you bet we're talking to the Russians about how you sold out our uranium and how you're a traitor. And when we get the evidence, we're going to put your in prison, Hillary.
Alex Jones there is talking about a conspiracy theory, how the real story isn't Russia meddling in 2016, but how U.S. uranium was sold to the Russians in exchange for donations to the Clinton Foundation. Conspiracies like this often originate in places like InfoWars or online message boards like 4chan, and they're nothing new, but they carry a completely separate story of the presidency than you'll see in mainstream news, and now their readers include the president himself. George Hawley is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Alabama. He's also author of Making Sense of the Alt-Right. He says the audience for fringe news sites has soared.
These are quite large. When you think about Breitbart, it claims that it had 2 billion page views in 2016. I was just looking at some information about InfoWars, and according to Quantcast, it had about 500 million page views last year. And of course, sources like Drudge Report can have over a billion views in a month.
If you're a reader, a frequent reader of some of these sites, what's your experience of the Russia story, the story of Russian infiltration of the 2016 election, and then all of the investigations and the fallout after that?
Well, when we think about sort of the pro-Trump media, that is, those media sources that are rather unreservedly supportive and enthusiastic about Trump, which, of course, is not a group that's entirely synonymous with the alt-right, just to be clear, the general attitude is that there really is no Russia story of any significance, that it is a concoction by the media, or that Trump officials have been set up by either the Democrats or by the so-called deep state, and it's all an effort to undermine Trump and his administration.
Well, let's take the most recent case then, since you alluded to it, the visit that Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner had with a Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, several other people, and an email chain that Donald Trump Jr. published himself suggesting that he was told that this meeting was part of the Russian government's attempt to help his father's campaign. If I'm reading Breitbart or Drudge or 4chan or InfoWars, what is that story to me?
Well, there's a couple of different ways that this has been approached. One has been that, well, this was a totally normal meeting. And of course, if you think that somebody has potentially useful opposition research for you, you are going to take that meeting, regardless of what the source of the information was. The other viewpoint is that, well, this was actually all a setup. That is, that Loretta Lynch allowed this Russian lawyer into the country specifically so that this meeting would take place and it would provide some ammunition against the Trump campaign. So a rather convoluted conspiracy theory, but one that has been repeated multiple times.
Here's the president acknowledging that narrative in a press conference with the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, last week.
The lawyer that went to the meeting, I say that she was in the halls of Congress also. Somebody said that her visa or her passport to come into the country was approved by Attorney General Lynch. Now, maybe that's wrong. I just heard that a little while ago.
What does it mean when the president himself utters the conspiracy theory from his position?
Well, it certainly strengthens theories like that, and the fact that there is a massive audience for websites and other venues pushing these sorts of stories means that the story is going to make it into general circulation.
Well, I want to take the big story that started all of the stories that we're talking about, which is the hack of the Democratic National Committee and John Podesta himself released on WikiLeaks. That story gets played how?
There is a different story that is being promoted, and that is that the hack was quite likely the result of the efforts of a young man named Seth Rich, who was a Democratic National Committee employee who was murdered in Washington, D.C. a year ago. And based on the timing of the hack and of the murder, it was speculated within certain right-wing media circles that Rich was actually the source of the DNC emails and he was murdered as a result. This story was initially pushed on certain right-wing message boards, but eventually began to migrate its way towards bigger venues, such as InfoWars, for example, and then finally actually ended up getting picked up by Fox News's Sean Hannity.
And I am not backing off asking questions, even though there is an effort that nobody talk about Seth Rich. This kid got shot in the back. They said it was a robbery, yet he had his watch, his wallet, and his phone. I don't believe it's a robbery.
So it definitely grew to encompass media venues that have a very large audience.
So what can we draw about these websites and their readers, George Hawley, when it's the unanimous assessment of the U.S. intelligence community that an attack like this happened and they know who's behind it? What does it tell us about the spirit, the intent, or the feeling behind what I'm calling the alt-right when these conclusions are rejected as conspiracy?
Well, I think it demonstrates a total lack of credibility of these institutions in the eyes of a significant portion of the American population. And to some, especially some of the more conspiracy-minded folks, the very fact that the CIA is pushing something is itself evidence that it's not true. And I don't think a few years ago, huge percentages of people, especially Republicans, would have said that CNN is fake news. I think that even if there was a recognition that it had a liberal bias, this notion that it was simply lying and making things up was not really a meme within Republican circles, but now it has become one. So to some extent, the president seems to be feeding into this by embracing this notion that a lot of mainstream news sources are simply not to be trusted. And then when you combine that with the fact that the president himself has said favorable things and even appeared on the show of Alex Jones, it seems to be contributing to this as well.
George Hawley is assistant professor of political science at the University of Alabama. His new book, out in September, is Making Sense of the Alt-Right. Thank you, Professor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
By the way, you can see a complete interactive timeline of the Russia investigation. It's on our website over at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.